In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dearly beloved, in the collect of today's Mass, the priest prays, "Let thy continual pity, O Lord, cleanse and defend thy church. And because it cannot continue in safety without thee, may it ever be governed by thy goodness." In the midst of the turmoil, suffering, and scandal that our world, and sadly, Holy Mother, the Church, is undergoing and has been undergoing, this seems to me to be a good prayer for us to repeat, not only on this 15th Sunday after Pentecost, but again and again. How easily are we discouraged by the failings of our shepherds and those appointed over us? How easily we forget our duty to pray and sacrifice so that they might receive the necessary graces to persevere faithfully in the accomplishment of the duties of their state in life. The Church, immaculate and spotless in her essence, for she is the body of Christ, is yet weak and sinful in her members. What a paradox and what a mystery. And yet, if we look at the story of Christ's passion, told to us by the Holy Gospels, we see many parallels with the sufferings and trials of the Church throughout the centuries, many centuries, and down to our very own times. In Matthew 10, verses 2 to 4, we have a list of the 12 apostles chosen by Christ. St. Matthew, whose feast we also commemorate today. Judas Iscariot is already designated in the list of St. Matthew as he who betrayed him, not simply because the gospel was written after the fact, but also and more importantly to show us that our Lord knew what he was doing when he chose Judas as an apostle. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity made man, knew all things. He knew that Judas would be an unfaithful apostle, first by his dishonesty in keeping the purse containing the money necessary for the sustenance of our Lord and his apostles. St. John tells us that he was stealing from that purse. And secondly, by his betrayal of Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And yet our Lord still chose him as an apostle, one of his special friends and first bishops entrusted with the care of evangelization. Why was this? Could not our Lord have chosen someone a little worthier? There would seem to be several reasons, the most important being that God never forces us to love him, but leaves us the liberty, the freedom to choose between true freedom in doing his holy will or the slavery to the devil in sin. Judas Iscariot did not have to betray our Lord. He made the choice to do so. It wasn't determined before the fact. Yet our Lord still wished to forgive him. We see this beautifully and symbolically shown in Mel Gibson's movie The Passion of the Christ when our Lord is taken into custody. You remember the scene by the temple guards in the Garden of Gethsemane? Judas betrays our Lord with a kiss, and after a gentle reproach, while the soldiers subdue the other apostles, Jesus himself never stops with a look of grace, trying to touch the soul of Judas with the grace of repentance. And we see the same scene played out in parallel once again, when Peter, a few moments later, denies that he knows Christ. And then, as St. Luke tells us in his gospel, Jesus looked upon him. That is how close they were when Peter denied Christ. They were within sight of each other. Peter knew that here was his master, the one he had seen perform countless miracles, healing the sick, multiplying loaves and fishes, calming the tempest, walking on water, raising the dead, as we hear recounted in the gospel of today. And yet Peter still denied our Lord because he feared for his life and depended too much upon his own strength. Yet Peter's heart, unlike Judas's, was not closed to God's grace. And after our Lord's gentle look of reproach, full of mercy and love, Peter was touched, going out, wept bitterly over his sins, and never again denied his Savior. These two examples help us to understand that the free will that God has given us all, and especially those in positions of authority, can be abused. But of course, it can and is also used for good. These examples also encourage us to pray even more for our shepherds, for without God's grace they cannot remain faithful, and they will betray their master as Judas Iscariot did. We must also never lose a supernatural outlook. God never wills that sin happens. He never positively wills. It goes against his nature. Sin is the turning away of the created will from God, its final end, and God cannot will an offense against himself because he is pure and absolute goodness. God only permits sin so that he might draw a greater good from it. Peter's sin of denial had the advantage of teaching him humility and confidence in God and not in his own strength. The sins of betrayal committed by the shepherds of the church will have the advantage of allowing the cleansing of the church and her members to take place sooner, please God. They will also have the advantage of making our acts of faith in her divine foundation more meritorious and heroic. It was easy for St. John to love our Lord on Mount Tabor during the Transfiguration, but so much better for him and more pleasing to our Lord to love him bloodily nailed to the cross and dying for us on Mount Calvary. And so, dear faithful, let us take then seriously our obligation to pray for our shepherds. There are graces that are made available through our prayers that they would not otherwise have. And God, in his wisdom and providence, has chosen to use us poor intermediaries, we who are secondary causes. He has chosen to use us in the work of sanctification, unworthy though we are. And so let us remember that every prayer that we offer is, in its own little way, for another, every prayer that we offer for another, the source of some grace that they would not otherwise have. For Judas himself was not born as a traitor, but rather he chose to become. He rejected God's grace through the evil choices. And we see the opposite example of St. Matthew. St. Matthew led a sinful, or at least a unapproved life as a tax collector, levying taxes upon his own people, and was turned away from that in an instant when he was called by Jesus. So let us then make the resolution to pray evermore for Holy Mother the Church and her shepherds, so that God may send us holy ones to lead us in the way of salvation. Let today's collect then be our constant prayer. Let thy continual pity, O Lord, cleanse and defend thy church. And because it cannot continue in safety without thee, may it ever be governed by thy goodness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.